الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله العظيم All praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the choicest blessings of Allah ta'ala be upon His most beloved Nabi Our leader Hazrat Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We thank and praise Allah Ta'ala for the numerous bounties and blessings He has bestowed upon us. And we ask Allah Ta'ala to continue showering His blessings upon us and to enable us to acknowledge these blessings and accordingly to render gratitude for them and not to deny us and deprive us of any of His blessings on account of our own weakness, on account of our own ungratefulness, on account of our own disobedience and shortcomings. Every blessing that Allah Ta'ala has bestowed upon us, we are direly in need of it. And the only time when the blessing is taken away, it maybe was insignificant, we did not even know about it. But when it is taken away, then we come to realize what we have lost. Nevertheless, my respected friends and brothers, we are at the start of the academic year, as we are aware, and at that time, everybody's minds are once more diverted and focused on the education of the children. Last week, the discussion in the Jummah talks, both the masjids, was with regard to our children, our growing children, and what we are supposed to do in order to secure this investment of ours for the Akhirah in a manner that they and we together can be in the shade of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So linked up to that is another aspect also related to our children. MashaAllah, as parents, we know that we provide for their physical needs. We'll do everything and anything. We'll work hard to ensure that their physical needs are taken care of, and that falls in a category of farad. We are supposed to do that. That's what our job is. And then we also take care of the educational needs, mashallah. So we look for the various institutions where we feel we can get the best education for our children. So we look at the schools, or we look at the madrasas, or we look at the combined model, whatever it might be, so that we feel our children can be given the best of that. Then we also see to the emotional needs, and we give them all the kind of love and compassion and support, whatever they might be. And then we have the spiritual needs also, which we are supposed to take care of. And for that, alhamdulillah, we do various things. And this has to be on an ongoing basis. Especially when they are in their young and formative years, we must ensure that all these things are given to them in such a way so that in a little while they are empowered and they can carry on their lives in the proper direction with a solid and a strong foundation, inshallah. My respected friends and brothers, man has been created naturally with goodness, with praiseworthy qualities in him. And these are the beautiful qualities of honesty, of justice, of modesty, of compassion, of kindness towards people, etc. These are the things what he is naturally inclined towards. He does not like to be associated naturally to anything that is wrong and that is incorrect. To such an extent that sometimes if he says something which he thinks to be the truth, he'll turn the whole house upside down, as we will say, to try and prove that I was on the truth. What I said was the truth. Because he does not like to be associated with falsehood and with lies. It's a different thing, he's lying deliberately. That's another aspect we'll come to. But generally, lies, dishonesty, and whatever else it might be, a person will try his hardest to ensure that I wasn't lying. He wants to prove himself. Or any other bad quality, if he's associated with it, if he did it by mistake, he'll go out of his way to give an explanation because he does not want to be associated with something that's not good. He wants to be associated with something that is upright and beautiful and good. So that is what man is. And then, my respected friends and brothers, that is a natural thing that is in him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made him like that. And he does not like to be associated with lies and with falsehood and with cheating and with deception and with oppression and with cruelty and with immorality and immodesty. Naturally, he doesn't like these things because that is not what his nature is made. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created man on a most beautiful, natural mode. And the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, best testimony, he says, Kullu mauludin yulidu ala al-fitra. That everyone that is born, every child that is born on the natural way. And the natural way is good. It is goodness. It is praiseworthiness. And a man is inclined towards this type of things. But what happens sometimes, a man then becomes inclined towards badness, towards unpraiseworthy qualities, towards evil, towards injustice, towards lying, cheating, towards pride and arrogance. And not only he comes inclined towards it, it becomes his way of life. That is the mode that he chooses for himself. He gets a great amount of satisfaction if he has done somebody down and acquired wealth in the wrong way. He gets a great amount of joy and satisfaction, and he takes relish in looking down at other people, mocking them and teasing them and humiliating them, and it gives him a great self-satisfaction. Now, this is not natural. He has now become unnatural. He has moved away from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made him. And what has happened? Why did this happen? This happened, my respected friends and brothers, because he has moved away from nature and he was influenced by some external influences that has now moved him away from the natural way. And when this happens, then we'll find that he very easily and automatically will now opt for all that is filthy, that is dirty, that is polluted, that is not good, ugliness, nastiness. You say, now what happened to this insan? Why he has become like that? So basically there are two factors, as you can say, external factors that influence a person in as far as his nature is concerned. Nature, as you and I know it outside there, also is influenced by some other factors. And this man, what is it? One is the education that he receives, and it can be formal or informal education. But what he learns, the learning that he receives and acquires, it will influence his nature sooner or later. His nature will become molded according to the influences of what he is learning. That is the one thing. And the second thing that will influence a person's nature and take it away from goodness to badness or from goodness to more goodness is the environment that he is living in. And when we speak of environment, and that's what we'll speak about today, is the daily ups and downs of life that he is faced with, events that take place in which he becomes embroiled or which he observes and he is part of, or whatever it is. And that thing has an effect on his nature. And soon we find that something is happening, and later in life he will say, I am like this, or I think like that, or I become like this because of a certain incident. Or it can also be because of the daily interaction with other people that can influence his nature. That means how he sees people acting and reacting, and he will see all the actions of people and their speech and whatever it might be, then that environment will also have an effect on him. So what we are saying here, my brothers, is that while we are providing education and physical needs and everything else, we need to ask ourselves, what kind of an environment have I provided for my child for the best and the most beautiful nurturing and upbringing and training to make my child a beautiful insan and to preserve the nature that he has come with and to enhance that beautiful nature which he has got and to provide, to prevent and protect his nature, his fitra, his beautiful qualities to turn to nastiness. That is the question we are supposed to ask ourselves. Take the example of water, my brothers. If we leave the effect of water, water is supposed to cool anybody down, even the car. You see, there's no water, put water inside the engine, it cools it down. When a person is feeling thirsty, he drinks water. So by nature, water is such, it got a cooling effect. So, and supposed to be cold. Now sometimes when the water is left out, it goes beyond room temperature, it starts becoming warm also. And then when a person drinks that water, it does not have the desired effect, he doesn't enjoy it. Because now that water has no longer got its properties of coolness in it. Maybe inherently it's still there, but a lot of it is lost. In fact, sometimes the properties of water are also lost if it is left exposed to sunlight and to the other elements. So if a person will drink that water which has now lost its properties, lost its coolness and that, it will not cool him, it will not cool anybody else. So what we are saying is that nature has changed. So the external environment has caused the nature of that water to change. So we also have to ask ourselves that when these little children are growing up around us, what influences are there that could actually distort or that could bend in a negative way their nature and their fitrah? Many times people get a shock. This child was born in this home and now he becomes the major kingpin of crime in whatever part of the world it might be. Where did he go wrong in life? So my respected friends and brothers, this is what we are supposed to ask ourselves, that how much of environment have I provided for my child? And that is going to decide about the nature. Then also, we have to ensure that that environment in which we make our children grow up is such that not only does it protect the nature, but it enhances it. Let's take the example of water again. When the water is room temperature and somebody wants to now enjoy the water, they will put some ice in the glass. And a little while later, the association of the ice with the water and the water with the ice will have an effect. And mashallah, the water becomes very nice and cool and cold and becomes pleasant to drink. So what are we supposed to associate our children with so that their nature does not become distorted? Really, it can be distorted or it can be enhanced. You know, when we go out sometimes and we're driving around in different parts and we see these beautiful mountains, we see these beautiful rock formations, and we ask ourselves, how did that happen? Some rocks are so beautifully carved out as though somebody was sitting and working on them. And some are so precariously balanced there as though somebody had taken a rock and put it there and just now it's going to fall. But it's not like that. Over a period of time, there was a process taking place of nature on nature. Nature on nature. And then that had caused these rocks to take whatever formation, and we find it looks so beautiful. And sometimes we might say it doesn't look beautiful also. What has happened? Why does this place look so ugly or so rugged or so scary or whatever it might be? Effect of nature on nature. So my respected friends and brothers, there's one ayat of the Quran which I just recited. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ittaqullaha wa kunu ma'as sadiqin, O believers, fear Allah ta'ala, and be in the company of the truthful. This word truthful is not necessarily restricted to speaking the truth. It means those who have truthfully assigned themselves and associated themselves and handed themselves over to the obedience of Allah ta'ala. And when was this verse revealed? This verse was revealed just around or after the hijrah had commenced, when a society was now being formed in Madinah Munawwara around Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At that time, Allah ta'ala revealed this verse in which actually it is an obligation and a farz for everyone to go to Madinah Munawwara and stay in Madinah and cause that beautiful city of Madinah, which had a few people in it at one time. And then the Muhajirin came. How many Muhajirin came? About 200, about 100, 150, 200 people came from Makkah to Madinah. But yet, in the 8th year of Hijrah, when the conquest of Makkah took place, there were 14,000 Muslimin that went there, 12,000. 12,000. How comes it happened? It happened like this, that this ayat of the Quran which I recited, where Allah Ta'ala instructed the believers, go and be in the company of the truthful, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is the environment where you are supposed to be. And the beautiful sahaba around him who were benefiting from him and also who had become truthful. If you stay in their company, then you will find that your entire nature and everything else will become beautiful, and you will serve that model for the rest of mankind till the day of Qiyamah. Therefore, we say it openly and confidently and proudly that after the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam's group, there is no other more noble group than the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, who have put an example of the most beautiful society on the face of the earth. The noble Sahaba Ridwanullahi Ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. I'll say it one more time. The noble companions of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They, Allah Ta'ala, chose to put that model society which serves as an example for the rest of mankind to follow till the day of Qiyamah. But how did it happen? People from Makkah made hijrah to Medina. People around Makkah and Medina and from the rest of the Arabian Peninsula, they made hijrah and they came in the company of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They came in an environment where they were afforded the opportunity of learning and nurturing and upbringing themselves according to the most beautiful example of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So environment is what we are supposed to provide for our children at any given time. If we don't know, I want our children to become evil, criminal, whatever it might be, then see which environment we have exposed them to. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'll give you three short examples from the hadith, has taught us how to create a beautiful environment in our homes. Masjid got nice environment, mashallah. Everybody comes here, so nice to be in the masjid. Everybody's connected to Allah, everybody's humble, everybody's, you know, focused, there's such peace and serenity. But what about the environment at home? Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, don't read all your namazes in the masjid. That faraz namaz, that is, just understand it. Leave some of your salah for your home. In other words, read your sunnats, sunnat muakkada, nafil at home. Now, why is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying this? Is the masjid not the best place? And he's saying it to the Medina people. Is Masjid al-Nabawi not the best place? But why is he saying, don't turn your home into a qabristan, into a graveyard? Read some of your salah at home. Why? Because you're going to be creating an environment of salah in your home. Your little children that are growing up, they will see you reading salah. And you have seen it, and I have seen it very, very often. The little children, when they see you reading salah, your child or your grandchild, they come and they put their own little musalla and they put a topi on their head. The little girl, she'll take a mother's oversized burqa and put it. And they will do some two or three things up and down before you have finished namaz. They've read 100 rakats already finished. Where did they learn that from? They did not go to madrasa. They're still 2.5, 3 years old and they are doing all these things. This is that environment which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. If you engender and foster that environment in your home, this is the result it's going to be. So there's the first thing Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said about fostering an environment in your home for salah. You take Quran, mashallah, we come to the masjid, we read Quran. How much of Quran is being recited in our homes? Where we take out the tilawat, we take out the Quran and we recite loudly or softly. And again, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I'll give one example, one hadith, that home in which Surah Baqarah is recited, shaitan runs away from there. Every time people find these all things happening in the house there, children are seeing things and all other things they are hearing, read Surah Baqarah. And read other parts of the Quran. There are lots of things Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that should be read in the home. Why read it at home? He didn't say go read in the masjid. Read it in the house. Because if your children see you reading Quran, you are actually setting up a beautiful environment of tilawat in your home. They will grow up knowing. And mashallah, you see the children doing that also. Sometimes they take a storybook or they take some anything and they'll start reading. What you read? I'm reading Quran. That's their baby language. They will say it in. And they will say some lip movements. And then they will take a storybook and put it so respectfully down because they saw you doing that. Environment, my respected friends and brothers. Very important. So we have taught them this. And the third thing, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he said, many people are such that they make dhikr on soft beds and soft couches, but through that they get Jannah. What is a soft beds and couches? Not in a masjid, there's no couches here. So far, no soft beds also. It's at home. If people sit and sometimes you're just relaxing and you're making a dhikr there. There's one other hadith to the effect when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that home in which the dhikr is made is like a lantern in that home. It's a light, it's a nur in that home. In the home he made mention of. So that is also to create an environment of dhikr in the home, that the children grow up seeing that we, our parents, our grandparents, our elders are taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the environment that we provide. So we are supposed to ensure an environment is brought about in the home through which this particular mindset of the child is influenced to become even better. Then over and above that, we also must remember, ask ourselves, what is the environment at home? how much of negative influence we are bringing in. We save them from all the haram crooks and the chores and the gangsters and that, but we're letting them watch a movie, an action movie, where the crooks are breaking and they're running away and the police are chasing them, and we're wishing the crooks mustn't get caught also. And the children are watching all that. There's no chore there outside, but look at a crook here in the house, and we brought the whole thing in front of them. Or the games that they might be playing. It's also not very good for the environment. Sometimes they are playing games, shooting the screen left, right, and center, and bringing down buildings and whatever else games they are playing. It's got some dynamic names, some powerful names also, some of these games. So what we are saying is that what environment we are bringing into our homes. And we must remember, nature makes this change over a long period of time. You and I, it takes us long to become influenced because we're now old and we have got our set ways, but we can become influenced. But the child at a young age, very in their formative years, alhamdulillah, they pick up very, very quickly and they learn very quickly and they develop habits, actions, mannerisms very, very quickly. So what we are doing at home, how we address our spouses, how we speak to each other, there might be issues that come up, and if we are going to use bad language, just see tomorrow what the child is going to do. He'll pick up the same thing, swearing left, right, and center. And if we are going to become violent, that is what the child is going to pick up, because that is the environment we have given him. So be conscious about the environment that we provide for our children. One is, mashallah, you're giving them good ta'aleem, you're giving good education, you've got good maulana, good madrasa, good Muslim school, good whatever it might be. But make sure that the environment in which they are going to be influenced is also a healthy and a positive environment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq.